Gemara says Ve'imayim ala Teira. So an additional level of interpretation, Pshuto Shal Mikra, was there was no water. Additional level of interpretation was that Moshe Rabbeinu made a takana shel lo yelchu shloshes yamim below Torah. So he says he made a takana to lane 3 times a week, Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos. Then the Gemara says that Ezra made the takana to lane. So who made the takana? Moshe Rabbeinu or Ezra? So the Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu made a smaller takana and Ezra expanded upon it. He enlarged it. Some Rishonim want to say the Ritva Megillah wants to say that Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos and Yontav is Deraisa. The Bach didn't have a Ritva. He wants to say that on his own. Also like that, Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos and Yontav should be Deraisa. What is that based on? It's based on the idea the Ramban interprets. The Ramban translates the word in Parshas Amor. The Chumash describes Shabbos and Yontav as Mikra Kodesh. So the Ramban says that the word Mikra means like Ela Krui Hoedu, the representatives of the tzibur who gathered together. So Mikra Kodesh, he translates, Rabban translates, a day of holy assemblage. Bnei Yisrael should gather together to do Tefillah B'tzibur and Talmud Torah B'tzibur. So Tefillah B'tzibur, that's surprising. The Ramban's opinion is that Tefillah B'chol Yom is only with the Rabbanim. The Rambam holds that to daven once a day every day is derais, and to daven 3 times a day in the Nusach HaTefillah, that's what the Chachamim introduced. The Ramban says the whole Tefillah is only deraisa based sorah when there's a major crisis. And tefillah shelo based sorah is only the rabbanim, but tefillah b'tzibur and Shabbos and Yontav is deraisa. Pete McGowan points out that's interesting. Talmud Torah b'tzibur means that the rabbi should give a drasha. He shouldn't talk about politics. The rabbi should give a drasha divrei Torah on Shabbos and Yontav, and they should have kriyas haTorah. They should have Torah shebichsav and Torah shebalpeh. So that's Shabbos and Yontav. That's based on Mikra Kodesh, based on Shabboson. Maybe it's based on the essay of Shabboson. Not to do Malocha on Shabbos and Yontav is not only a Lois essay, it's an essay as well. It's an Iser essay. Shabboson is an Iser essay. What could possibly constitute the Kiyum essay? Sometimes you have an essay that's only an Iser essay. Let's say it says, Kol Tzipa Tohar Tochelu. What do you mean? It's a mitzvah to eat chicken? If the guy's a vegetarian, doesn't want to eat chicken, so he's mevatel a mitzvah called tzipa torah t'chelu. No, so the answer is the Rambam counts that as a mitzvah called tzipa torah t'chelu. It means it's a nisar asay. If you eat a non-kosher bird, then you're over on nisar asay. In addition to violating the law of the lois asay for non-kosher animals, you're over the asay as well. Sometimes you have an asay that's a kiyum asay. To like tefillin and trying to say kriyashma. If you don't put on tefillin, you don't say kriyashma, so you didn't fulfill the mitzvah sasei. And a lot of times every so often you have an essay that's both a kiyum essay and a nisar essay. So that's what many of the Rishonim assume, that shabboson is both an isar essay and a kiyum essay. The isar essay is not to do malachas, and the kiyum essay, what can you do bekum v'yasei to fulfill shabboson, to make it into a shabbosic atmosphere, to have Talmud Torah. That's what Shabbos is all about. So again, the Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu was the first one. He made a takana shel lo yelchu shloshes yamim below Torah. So he made a takana Monday and Thursday in Shabbos. In the commentaries on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, they raise an issue. What if there was a blizzard on Monday and nobody showed up in shul? Would it make sense to lay Kriyas HaTorah on Tuesday? Because between Shabbos and Tuesday is 3 days. Shabbos to Sunday to Monday to Tuesday is the third day. So maybe that'll be the fulfillment of Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu Shalechu Shos Yam B'lo Torah. So some Achrenim say like that, that's not the accepted opinion. Even though the reason why he made the Takana of Sheni V'Chamish was Shalechu Shos Yam B'lo Torah, if there was a blizzard, nobody showed up in Shul on Monday. So if you're laying on Tuesday, you'll fulfill the whole purpose of the Takana. Bottom line, he didn't make, never was a Takana to lay in on Tuesday. So you don't lay in on Tuesday, even in a situation where he didn't lay in on Monday. What if they didn't lay in Kriyas? There was a blizzard in the morning and nobody came to shul. Then in the afternoon, it's possible to gather together to lay in Kriyas HaTorah. Was it Takana's Kriyas HaTorah only instituted in the morning? Or any time on Sheni V'Chamishi is good. So that's a machlokes achrenim, and many achrenim are of the opinion that you can fulfill the mitzvah even in the afternoon. Rav Soloveitchik sometimes, every so often, when he used to commute from Boston to New York, so a lot of times he had to leave early. Boston had to leave early, and he wasn't able to daven tefillah b'tzibur, so he used to miss Kriyas HaTorah sometimes. So he would always ask in class, are there any, after he gave the shiur, are there any students who missed Kriyas HaTorah this morning? So that for sure there was always a minion of students who miscreated the Torah. So he used to learn Kriyas HaTorah in the middle of Mincha like we do on a Tanis Sibur. He used to say Ashrei, and then they said Chatzi Kaddish, and then he took out the Sefer Torah. They gave three aliyahs, and then they said Chatzi Kaddish, and then they davened Shmanas. Others, he said that Rab Chaim used to do like that. Rab Chaim used to travel to conferences of Rabbanim, and Nevada Rabbanim of Poland would have meetings that he always used to attend. Rab Chaim used to attend. And whenever he would miss Kriyas HaTorah, he would always somehow succeed in gathering together a minyan in the afternoon. Others say that also you can learn Kriyas HaTorah in the afternoon. That's the accepted opinion, but they think you shouldn't do it like on a tiny sima. You should learn separately. You shouldn't be in the middle of, in between Ashrei and Shmoneh Esrei. I'm not sure exactly what the Kepeda is, but that's what others write like that. You shouldn't do the way Rav Soloveitchik did. You should learn Kriyas HaTorah separately. What about on Shabbos? Let's say there was a blizzard Shabbos morning. So would you say also you can learn Kriyas HaTorah Shabbos afternoon, the whole Parsha? So Rav Soloveitchik thought not. The HaTorah Sekeinim in his commentary on the side of the Shulchan Aruch thinks that just like Sheni Vachamishi, so Shabbos is the same thing. If you want to learn Shabbos afternoon, the Parsha HaShavuah, that's also good. Rav Soloveitchik thought that maybe not, because on Shabbos there was a separate takana. To lane the Parshas HaShavuah in the morning and then to lane next week's Parsha in the afternoon after the Zman Minchas. And maybe that means that the Parshas HaShavuah has to be read in the morning and the afternoon is the Zman for the next Kriya. So what happens if you miss the whole Kriyas HaTorah? There was a blizzard on Shabbos morning. Everybody missed the Kriyas HaTorah. What do you do? So on the Shulchan Aruch, they quote a story of Meister Shoya during the period of the Crusades that people dab Shachris and Shul on Shabbos. Then they heard a noise outside and they realized that the Crusaders were coming, so everybody ran for their lives and they locked all the doors and they hid in the basements of their homes and then they survived. And then they came out on Sunday, Monday, after the Crusaders left their village, and they realized that no one heard Kriyas HaTorah that Shabbos. And the next Shabbos they learned the two Sedras, like Mechuborim. Let's say this week is Parshas Bo. So if you had missed Parshas Bo, and then they would lay in Bo B'Shalach together and combine Bo and B'Shalach with Revi, like you would do on a regular Parsha, that's Mechuborim. So they quote this in Shulchan Aruch. What happens if the Crusaders were there, Shabbos, Parshas Bo, and Parshas B'Shalach? So can you lay three Sedras, Bo B'Shalach Yisro? So the Rishonim say that's too much. That's a Tircha de Tzibur. You never combine together three Sedras. Or you do combine two Sedras, but let's say the Sedra that they missed was by Chi, and now it's Parsha Shmois. So the Magen Avraham quotes all of this. He can't make Mechubarim from Vaychi to Shmos because there's a Hapsok in between. There are four empty lines in between. It's only two Sedras that are next to each other in the Chumash Tu, and not three. And it has to be from the same Chumash. You don't learn from different Chumash. In the biography of the Chazon Ish, they write that the Chazon Ish was once put in prison by the British before Hakamas HaMedina because he participated in a demonstration against Chilul Shabbos and Bnei Brak. So he missed Kriyas HaTorah 2 weeks in a row. And then when he came out of prison, so it says, Mishum Tircha de Tzibur, it's not right to lay in three Seders. So he asked a group of nine people whether they'd be willing to suffer along with him to listen to three Sedras. So for him, the Chazon Ish, they liked him very much, so they all agreed. So he felt that, like the people today, they say, the whole reason why you're not allowed to give a woman aliyah is kavod hatzibur. So if the tzibur is machal on the kavod, so it's okay. So they got it from the Chazon Ish, a holy source, Chazon Ish, yes. And they wrote machal on the tircha de tzibur. They said, it's okay. So he had his own minion, and they learned three sedras in a row. Okay. Truth of the matter is that the story in Shulchan Aruch, some of the Mefarshim point is that the story in the Shulchan Aruch comes from the Ur Zoruah that when the Crusaders came, they davened Shachris B'Tzibur. And then they all ran away from Shul, so they went as Chayvu. There's a major question whether Kriyas HaTorah is a Chayvus HaYochid or Chayvus HaTzibur. Soloveitchik said he had two grandfathers. So his grandfather, Rav Chaim, held that Kriyas HaTorah is a Chayvus HaYochid. So when he would be traveling by train to go to come home from the conferences of the Rabbanim, so he wouldn't daven b'tzibur, he would daven tefillah shachris b'yochid, but he felt that Kriyas HaTorah is a chayvus hayochid, so that's why he would make sure that he would stop somewhere in the afternoon and daven mincha and have a gather together a minyan for Kriyas HaTorah. He felt Kriyas HaTorah is a chayvus hayochid. And his other grandfather, Rabbi Prushin, Rav Soloveitchik said as a young child he only visited Rav Chaim a few times. At the end of Rav Chaim's life, the last year and a half, they were all together in Warsaw. But when he was a young child, he only visited a few times, and he was always by the other grandfather, by his mother's father, Abelia Feinstein. That was Moshe Feinstein's uncle, was Rav Soloveitchik's grandfather. Now, Moshe Feinstein was the first cousin of Soloveitchik's mother. Her name was also Feinstein. So the other grandfather said once, when you're going to visit the Zeta Rav Chaim, so show him the Ramban and Mohammed. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Ramban and Mohammed on Megillah, who says a davar pashut that kriyas haTorah is a chayvus haTzibur, not a chayvus haYachid. So he said when he came back, somehow he came back to the other grandfather, Rabbi Pruzhiner, and he said Rab Chaim reinterpreted the whole Ramban and came out not so. The simple reading of the Ramban is the way the Mishnah Berurah quotes it, that kriyas haTorah is a chayvus haTzibur, not a chayvus haYachid. So some of the Achrenim say that since kriyas haTorah chayvus haTzibur, so only in the Maisu Shehoya, the Tzibur daven shachris together, they went in Schaibu to hear Kriyas HaTorah. And then they heard the Crusaders and they ran to hide to save their lives. So then they were mechuyif to lay in Kriyas HaTorah. So the next week they laying the two sides together. But if there was a snowstorm and nobody went to shul, so there never was a Tzibur who daven together who went in Schaibu and Kriyas HaTorah. So then some of the Acharonim said, you wouldn't make Tashlumin. You wouldn't lay in two sedris next week. But I think the common practice is that you do. And whenever there's a snowstorm, every so often there's a big snowstorm on a Shabbos. So a lot of the shuls will have the next week, they'll learn Kriyas HaTorah, they're both sedders. The Gemara in Maseches Gittin, in Perek HaNezakin, raises a question. This week is Parshas Bo. Can you learn from a Sefer Torah that only has Chumash Shmos? If you have only Parshas Bo, that's called Balpeh. It's not called Mitor HaKsav. You have to have a Sefer Shalom. Anything less than a Sefer Shalom is called Balpeh. But you don't have to have all the Chamish and Chumash Torah. But what if you just have a Chumash Mos? So that's called a Chumash. Can you learn Menachumashim, but you have to learn Davke from an entire Sefer Torah? So the Gemara says that they have to learn from a whole Sefer Torah with name Kovod HaTzibur. What does it mean Kovod HaTzibur? So some Rishonim seem to have understood. Kovod HaTzibur means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the bris with Klal Yisrael as a nation. It didn't make a bris. The Torah was given to Klal Yisrael as a nation. It wasn't given to individual Jews. And the Sefer HaBris, originally, on the occasion of Maamar HaSinai, will soon read in Parshas Yisro, in Parshas Mishpatim will reign, that on the occasion of the Maamar HaSinai, that was the Geirus of Klal Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu read from the Sefer HaBris. What's the Sefer HaBris? The Rashi says, Bereishis till Maamar HaSinai, till Parshas Yisro. At the end of Arba'im Shana Bamidbar, so Moshe Rabbeinu completed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the rest of the Chumash. So then the Sefer HaBris changed. Instead of just being from Bereishis till Maamar HaSinai, the entire Chamish Chumshi Torah are now considered the Sefer HaBris. And since the Krisa's Bris on the Torah was with the Tzibur, so the Gemara says, that's how many Rishonim seem to learn. That if they cover that tzibur, you should learn from a sefer Torah, not from a chumash. If you learn from a chumash, it'll be mitor haksav. But since kriyas haTorah has to be b'tzibur, so you should learn from the sefer HaBris, because the kriyas bris was with the tzibur. Yeah, can you learn from a pasul or sefer Torah? The pasul pshat, of course not. The Gemara says you can't even learn from a kosher or sefer shmos. You have to learn dafka from all the chamish and chumash Torah. Should have the status of a sefer Torah, the sefer HaBris. How can you say lain from a chumash? It's not kosher. They're very strange, but it's a machlekes. The Rambam and the Rambam. The Rambam and the Tshuva writes that that's the common practice b'chol orei svara, that they lain bal peh. They lain not from a kosher sefer Torah. The Rambam and the Mishnah Torah writes not so. The Rambam and Hilchos sefer Torah writes all the dinim. How do you determine whether the sefer Torah is kosher? And then he says, and you can't lain kriyas haTorah unless the sefer Torah is kosher. So the case of Mishnah on the side of the Rambam quotes a Tshuvas HaRashba, who was asked about this discrepancy. So he says, the Rambam changed his mind. The Tshuva was written earlier. And in the Tshuva he writes, that's the common practice, B'chol Orei Svara, that they lain from a Pasul or Sefer Torah, they lain from a printed Chumash. They didn't have printing then. They lain Bal Peh. And in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam changed his mind. Every so often, there's a discrepancy between the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis and the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, that was Rav Soloveitchik's father, my father-in-law, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. So he would spend time explaining what the Rambam held before, what the Rambam held afterwards. So the students would ask him, but the Rambam backed out, so what do you have to explain what he said originally? So he'd explain the Rambam before he backed out was also a Rishon. So just like if you have a machlekes, the Rambam and the Rashba, you want to explain the Rambam, you want to explain the Rashba, you want to explain the Rambam, you want to explain the Rambam. The Rambam before Chazara was also a Rishon, was also a Rambam. So here, this is a discrepancy between the Rambam and the Tshuva, and the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah. The accepted opinion is that you can't learn Kriyas HaTorah with a broch unless it's a kosher Sefer Torah. During the Second World War, the Jewish Welfare Board was controlled by conservative rabbis, so they put out a little pamphlet of Pidi Halacha for the chaplains all over the world. So they wrote, the Rambam says he can learn from a Chumash, he can learn Kriyas HaTorah from a Chumash. That's the Rambam in the Tshuva, but we don't accept that Rambam. We pass like the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah. You can't learn Kriyas HaTorah unless you have a kosher Sefer Torah. B'diyevid, the Beis Yosef writes, what's the din if you're in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, you just finished Lishi, then you realize there's a psula in the Sefer Torah. So the Beis Yosef paskins, he quotes Mari Abuav, his Rebbe, that b'diyevid, whatever you learn, we rely on the Rambam and the Tshuva, that you can learn Kriyas HaTorah from a pasul of Sefer Torah. You're not required that you should start from the beginning to learn all over again. That's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. Then the Mishnah Berurah quotes Achreinim, but if you can squeeze in seven aliyahs, let's say you found a mistake after Shlishi was over, and then you're going to learn from Revi to the end. If you can squeeze in seven aliyahs from there to the end, you should try to do that to be choshish for the opinion that you weren't Yotze, Kriyas HaTorah from what you learned with Psul. And Rav Soloveitchik said, once the Achreinim recommend, you should be choshish for the... You shouldn't rely on the Rambam and the Tshuva. So he said, if you have a tzibur of Bnei Torah, and they won't get too upset, so you should really start from the very beginning all over again. Give seven aliyahs and start from the beginning of the Seder. Don't start from Revi. According to the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah, you weren't yet to anything with what you did, what you read from the Pasul of Sefer. Once I was davening here in the Aguda many years ago, so they found a mistake in the middle of Hazinu. So the Rav wasn't thinking, the Rav and the Shul wasn't thinking. So he said, okay, squeeze in seven aliyahs from this point to the end. So they squeezed in seven aliyahs. Then when we came back from Mincha, so the Rav said in public, he made a mistake that this Chumra from the Mishnah Berurah to squeeze in seven aliyahs applies to any other Seder other than Ha'azinu. Because there's a Gemara at the end of Rosh Hashanah that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not quoted here in the second volume of the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah. It's quoted in the end of Chelek Dalet. When you have Hilchas Rosh Chodesh, right before Hilchas Pesach. So they have their collection of odds and ends about Kriyas HaTorah. It says, Hazino, you have to be Mapsik, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi, Chamish, and so on, according to the way the Levim read it in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Rosh HaTevah says, Hazivloch. It's a Gemara in the end of Masechus Rosh Hashanah. That the Levim, every Shabbos, Hashir Shalvim Hayim Beis HaMikdash, Mizmin Shaliyam HaShabbos, that they sang when they were doing Nisach HaYayin. Einamim Shira Elal HaYayin. The Levim only sing the Shira when the Kohanim are doing Nisach HaYayin. So they did Nisach HaYayin after the Tom Shal Shachar, and the Levim sang Biz Mishra Liyam HaShabbos every week. And then after the Musafim, then they sang a different Shira. When the Kohanim were pouring the wine for the Nisach HaYayin of the Musafim, so the Levim sang a different Shira. So they would alternate 6 weeks, every 6 weeks, every seventh week, they would go back again. First week they would read the first section Hazinu, second week they would read the second section, third week the third section. The Rosh HaTevah says Hazivloch, and then the seventh week they went back again to the beginning of Hazivloch. So Rav Soloveitchik says this in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, that Hazinu you have to, Gemara says in the end of Rosh Hashanah, you have to be Mapsik and Shul, the Beis HaKnesses, you have to pause the same place that the Levim used to pause in the Beis HaMikdash. If you know from when you read a poem, if you pause in the wrong place, you kill the whole poem. So Hazinu is a Shira, it's a poem. So if you're going to make a Hapsok in the wrong place, you kill the whole poem. So the Rav pointed out he made a mistake. I remember I was once in Bimikre, I once happened to be in London, and there was a bar mitzvah, I was in London for Sukkot, and there was a bar mitzvah on Shabbos Hazinu. Shabbos Hazinu must have been in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, I think was Hazinu. And the bar mitzvah boy was a kohen, and the father was a kohen, the grandfather was a kohen. So they all wanted aliyahs. How can you give aliyahs? So they made hoisafis. So they made hoisafis in Hazinu. So I was eating by the rabbi afterwards. As we were walking home, I asked him, you're not allowed to make hoisafis in Hazinu. Never heard of it. Never heard of it. There's a rabbi who knew Noshim and Azikin. He wrote tshuvas on Noshim and Azikin. Arachayim was not his strength. He didn't know that. And there's a tshuva in the Dvar Abraham. What's the din b'di'evid? If they paused in the wrong place, Should the next aliyah start back from the beginning of that section, or does he start from where the last one left off? Is the kepet of Haziv Loch where you end, or the kepet is where you begin? So it's a diyun in the Dvarim. Wasn't familiar with the whole topic. Anyway, Hazin is the one exception to the rule. Rav Soloveitchik used to be makbid also, the Magen Avraham there in Hilchas Rosh Chodesh, when they have that one siman about the miscellaneous in Yonim, about the Kriyas HaTorahs, and the Magen Avraham quotes from Kabbalah Svarim that in Parshas Maaseh there are 42 cities mentioned. Keneged, the Membeis Masos is Keneged, the Shem Membeis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a name that consists of 42 letters. How can you pronounce, how can you pronounce a word with 42 letters? So the Rambam writes in the Mor Nebuchim, there's a Shem Ayin Beis, a Shem Hashem that has 72 letters. How can you pronounce such a long name? So the Rambam says, it's a collection of many words. It's a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not one long word. Many words put together, all together, has 42 letters, and the other description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has 72 letters. So the Magen Avraham quotes from Kabbalah Svarim that since the Membeis Masos HaMechuvin Keneged, the Membeis, Shem Membeis, so it's not right to be Mapsik. And all the Chumashim, they have Hafsok, Yesheni is in the middle of the Membeis Masos. So Rav Soloveitchik used to be Makbid that you have to lay on Monday or Thursday mornings also, and on Shabbos afternoon to Mincha. You have to learn the first Aliyah. You have to learn all the way till Shlishi. It's after Sedra. You have to learn all the Membeis Masos. And then you give another two Aliyahs after that on Shabbos afternoon. Hazinu also, the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch writes, that this, quoting from Achronim, that this Kepeda that you have to pause in Hazinu the same way the Levim were Mafsik and the Beis HaMikdosh, this is only on Shabbos, but you're going to read the whole Parshas Hazinu. But on Sheni B'Chamishi, on Shabbos afternoon to Mincha, where you're not going to learn the whole Sedra anyway, so then there's no Kepeda. So you can break up Haziv Loch also. So Rav Soloveitchik said where he came from in Europe, they had the practice to be choshish with the other opinion. Other Achrenim disagree. He came from a Lubavitcher community. He was brought up in Chaslavich. His father was a Rama Chaslavich. That was a Lubavitcher village. So by Lubavitch, they have that practice. They follow the other opinion in Achrenim that even on Sheni V'Chamishi also, you shouldn't be mapsik in the middle of Hazinu. And he explained that it could well be that this is a din deraisa, not to be mapsik in the middle of Hazinu in the wrong place. How could it be a din deraisa? So he explained as follows, that Magen Avraham poses a kasha that there are two gemaras that seem to contradict each other. One gemara says, "Kol psuka deloy pasken moisha anan loy paskinon," that you can't stop in the middle of a pasuk. You have to leave. You read pasuk by pasuk. Then there's another gemara in Brachas that seems to contradict. The other gemara says, "Kol parsha deloy pasken moisha anan loy paskinon." Whenever there's a whole parsha, so either you say the whole parsha, you don't say at all. You shouldn't say half a parsha. So which is it? Is it called Psukah de la Paschal Moshe? Is it called Parsha de la Paschal Moshe? So it's a problem. And the Tur Yevin has a discussion, the Levim and the Beis HaMikdash. One Shabbos they said, Hazinu, they didn't finish the whole Parsha. Then the next Shabbos they said, Zechori Moselem. The next Shabbos they said, Yarkiveyu. They didn't say all Haziv Lohan. So they didn't always finish a Parsha. So you see that there's no din of called Parsha de la Paschal Moshe. Which is it? So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the answer is, Achranim give different tributes to Magen Avraham suggests, Turi Yevin suggests, the end of Rosh Hashanah. Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Teretz is, the Ika Klal is, you have to learn Kriyas HaTorah Kirchsovoi. You have to learn it correctly and not corrupt the text. So if you're learning Kriyas HaTorah in a regular Sheni V'Chamishi or in a Shabbos, so then the Takanas Chachamim was, you learn Psukim. Every Aliyah has to have a minimum of three Psukim. And the Sach HaKol, the sum total of all Kriyas HaTorah on a weekday has to be at least 10 psukim. And on Shabbos, you have to have 7 aliyahs, a minimum of 21 psukim. Okay, so you're dealing with the takana was b'toras psukim, so then the din is called psukah de loy paskei moshe, non loy paskinim, because the units that you're working according to the takanas chachamim is psukim. So there the din is, you shouldn't stop in the middle of a pasuk. You're going to stop in the middle of a pasuk, you're corrupting the Kriya. It's shaloi kersavoy. The Gemara in Brachas that has a din called Parsha Dolei Paschal Moshe, Gemara in Brachas is talking about, not talking about Kriyas HaTorah, it's talking about reciting Kriya Shema. So you have to recite Shema and V'Hayoyim Shemaya. Tosis' opinion is that the Shtei Parsha is Rishonis HaDeraisa. And then you have to say the third Parsha because of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. And according to the Rambam, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is a part of, it's not a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, it's part of the mitzvah of Kabbalah Salmach HaShemayim. You have to be mekabel malchus shemayim by mentioning Nochi Hashem Elokecha sheyotzeisichem yeretz Mitzrayim. Ani Hashem Elokechem sheyotzeisichem yeretz Mitzrayim. So the mentioning of Yitzias Mitzrayim is to be mechazek the idea of kabbalas al malchus shemayim. So it's part of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. So then the Gemara says, well, which parsha does it make sense to lane for the purpose of Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim? The Gemara says, maybe you should lane parshas Bilam. Parshas Bolok, that Bilam says, is Nevuah Kel Motziyam Mitzrayim Kisof Os Re'em Lo, a nice poetic construction of a pasuk. So the Gemara says, no, you're going to read that. You got to read the whole parsha. It's going to be forever. It's going to, the davening will take three times as long. Because called parsha le'paskei mesh, and not le'paskei. Why all of a sudden called parsha le'paskei mesh? Just say the one possible answer is not because you're reciting the third parsha of Shema b'tzirif with the first two parshios, and the, according to Taisus and many Mishnayim, according to the Rambam and Taisus, the first two parshios amen ator. You have to say the entire two parshios. So then you want to say a third parsha, not a third pasuk. You want it to be b'tzirif with the first two to fulfill the mitzvah of kabbalas amachos shemayim al yidei. Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. So there the din requires a parsha, because the first two parshas have to be an entire parsha. So the third one, where you're going to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim, also has to be an entire parsha. So there it's considered Shaloi Kichsavoi, if you're going to lay in a half of a parsha. In reciting Kriyashma, the units that you work with are parshas. In Kriyas HaTorah, when you're laying Kriyas HaTorah, the units that you're working with are psukim. So here, Rav Soloveitchik said, this is what the Gemara is telling us, that when you're laying in Hazinu, it's a shira. So you have to work with units of a shira. It's a poem. So if you're going to pause in the wrong place, it's shaloi kechsova. So he thought that there's a hashash. It could be a violation of a din deraisa if you're not going to pause. Azim loch ansheni v'chamish. He was explaining that opinion in the Achrayim that's against, not like the Ramo. The Gemara says that, strictly speaking, the Mishnah that has a halach emav sikim b'toichochas when you lay in the toichecha, you're not supposed to have Haisophis there in the middle of the Teichecha. It really only applies to the Teichecha in Bechukaisai. It really doesn't apply to the Teichecha in Kisavai. But we have a minig. The Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnah, there in Megillah. Our minig is that we don't, whenever we can avoid it, we don't begin or end with a Dovara. Sometimes you can't avoid it. The Parsha ends, Mos Yom Sushneim, Demeyam Bob. That's the end of the Parsha. Drop dead. So what can you do? That's the end of the parsha. But whenever the gabbai can avoid it, so he should always, he should make haisofis so that the next aliyah will begin with dovara. This aliyah should end with a dovara. That's why many achrayim say that in parshas b'haloischa, it's not right. Binosa min amachana. I think Revi is binosa min amachana when you have ayibin soha oron, you have the nunim hafuchim. So Rashi in his commentary on Chumash writes that the nunim hafuchim. Benosa min amachna was one poronus, and by yom kimisayna name is another poronus. So in a lot of chumashim they have benosa min amachna rivi. So that's your mesayim davara. So min achrayim say it's not right. You shouldn't end over there. The way it's printed in the chumash, it's not alach chumashim mesina. It wasn't. The printers put it in. They didn't have big Rishonim or Achrayim working on these things. Mr. Gutenberg, the guy, he had a worker, so he decided to put in Sheni Shlishi wherever he wanted to. The Gemara says that you should be Mechabed the Kohen first to get the first Aliyah, then the Levi, and then Yisrael get the rest of the Aliyahs. Why? Because the Pasuk says, regarding the Kohanim and the Levim, Al Pi Miyah Kol Riv V'Chol Noga. Negat Saras has to be always gepaskin by a Kohen. Al Pi Miyah Kol Riv. A Machlokes, the Din Torah should be decided by Kohanim or Levim. That's Basal Shoifet Hazek, Basal Kohen Alev, Ashiyah B'Yamim Lehem. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Sanhedrin, based on Sukkim and Chumash, that Shevet Levi is supposed to be the Koilel of Klal Yisrael. They're supposed to give them Matnas Kuhn and Matnas Levi that they should sit and learn all the time. There's Yoram Mishpatech Aliyankiv, so Ras Chalisol, Shevet Levi, supposed to be learning, supposed to be paskening all the Shailas. So they have an Adifas, they have a. And when you appoint a Sanhedrin, if you have two candidates equal in learning, whoever's best in learning gets the position. But let's say they're equal in learning, so then you should prefer to give to a Kohen or to a Levi, because Kohen and Levi are supposed to be transmitting the Masorah of the Liman Hatar. So when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, so first the Kohen should get the first Aliyah, then the Levi gets the next, and then Yisraelim get. If there's no Kohen, so the Gemara says, Ein Sham Kohen, Nispar Da HaChavila. That's a Gemara in Hanizokin, Perak Hanizokin. Why didn't you mean Espar the Hachavilo? So Rashi has two interpretations on the Gemara. One interpretation is, you're not mechuyif to call a Levi if you don't want to, but if you do want to, you may. You don't have to. Espar the Hachavilo, you don't have to. The other pshat in Rashi is, no, you're not permitted to call a Levi first. Not permitted. What's the Averi? You're not permitted to call a Levi first. So Rashi doesn't explain. So Rav Soloveitchik explained when he learned Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, he thought, because the Kiddushtoy is a mitzvah in Parshas Hamor. The Kiddushtoy means you should be mechabed the Kohanim. So he's supposed to be mechabed Levim as well, because the Levim were chosen at their shape. It is supposed to be Yorim Mishpatecha LeYankid. They're supposed to be learning and paskening all the Shailas. And preferable is if you have a position available in a Bezni, you should appoint a Kohen or a Levi. Fine. So, but you're not supposed to be mechabed a Levi to the same extent as a Kohen. So you have to give somebody the first aliyah. You're not going to start from Shlishi. You have to start from the beginning of the Sedra. So you call the Yisrael. So it does mean you're giving the Yisrael the kibbut that the Kohen deserves. But if you give a Levi the first aliyah, you're giving him the first aliyah because he's a Levi. The first aliyah, that's only a Kohen deserves that. You're not supposed to be mechaber a Levi to the same extent as a Kohen. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they don't really quote that opinion. They're just saying, it's part of the Chavili, you're not mechuyif to call a lady if you don't want to. Rav Soloveitchik used to recommend that you should be machmer for that opinion. So who gets the first aliyah? The biggest Talmud Chacham. Biggest Talmud Chacham. Medina the Gemara, if you have a Kohen Am Haaretz and you have a Talmud Chacham Yisrael, so the Talmud Chacham Yisrael gets the first aliyah. So we don't follow that din. The Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos complains about it, why we don't follow that din. But that's, we assume that it's a Takanas Agoinim, that you give the Kohen the first aliyah, even though the Yisrael is a bigger Talmud Chacham. They say that the Vilna Goyen on Leil Simchas Torah took the first aliyah. Because in the days of the Goyen, when they made this takana, that you should always give the Kohen the first aliyah, even though the Yisrael is a bigger Talmud Chacham, Kriyas HaTorah Leil Simchas Torah didn't exist. It was introduced later. So the takanas HaGoyen was never instituted to the Kriyas HaTorah Leil Simchas Torah. So the Goyen used to take the first aliyah Aleil Simchas Torah. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, if ain't Shem Kohen, so if you're Machma like Rashi, you don't want to call up a Levi, so you call up the biggest Talmud Chacham. So a lot of times when we would lay in Kriyas HaTorah, after Shir, in the middle of Mincha, so there would be no Kohen there. So they call up Rav Soloveitchik. He was the biggest Talmud Chacham. He was the Rebbe. So he said, no, for educational purposes, he said, no, you have to give it to a Yisrael. Shouldn't give a To emphasize that you shouldn't give a Levi first aliyah. He was the biggest Talmud Chacham, so we're supposed to. But that's for educational purposes, he did like that. Then the Gemara has a din, Kohen HaKohen LaYikra, Levi HaLevi LaYikra. You shouldn't call one Kohen after the other, shouldn't call one Levi after the other. People may mistakenly jump to a conclusion and think that the reason why we called the second Kohen, because the first Kohen was a Cholol. We just discovered that we made a mistake. We discovered that the first Levi whom we just gave an aliyah to is not really a Levi. There's something wrong with him. So Mishum Pigam Mishal Rishon, shouldn't call a Kohen Acha Kohen, shouldn't call a Levi Acha Levi. What does it mean? How do you translate the words Levi Acha Levi Kohen Acha Kohen? So the Pasha Pshat is, most of the Mishanim say, you give an aliyah, Kohen Acha Kohen, a Levi Acha Levi, Pasha Pshat. And then in Shulchan Aruch, we're machmer for the other Pirish. The Ran quotes another Pirish, Ran Anirif quotes another Pirish, that Kohen HaKohen LaYikra means up until the end of the Zayin Kruim. You shouldn't call another Kohen until you finished all the Shiva Kruim. So if you wanted this Bar Mitzvah that I attended, I didn't go there for the Bar Mitzvah. I was there for Sukkot, I fell in the Shul and Parshas Hazinu. So they were in Shomer Shabbos, but they all three wanted an Aliyah. So the Bar Mitzvah kid, I think, got the Maftir, and the grandfather got Kohen, and then they made a Hoysof at the end, so the father got the last aliyah. He got the Haisafah. In order to make the Haisafah, they had to make Haisafah in the middle of Haziblach. So
there's room for one Haisafah after the Shira.
In Hazinu?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I don't remember why, but they made a Haisafah in the middle of Shira's Hazinu. So lechatchila we machmir for that you don't call Kohen Acha Kohen, you don't call another Kohen. Not only immediately after the first Kohen, not only Levi Acha Levi, you don't give another Kohen an aliyah till after the Zayin Kruim is all up. When you want to make Haisafah, then you can call a Kohen a Levi there. So then the Mishnah Berurah says, but if you have a little bit of a Shas Chatak, let's say you have an Oifruf or you have a Bar Mitzvah, and all a lot of relatives are there. So if the kid is a Kohen, then his father's kind, their grandfather's a kind, the uncle's a kind, they're all Kohanim, so they all want Aliyahs. So he said, then we're Mekel, we only don't permit kain achar kain literally. But then you don't insist that you have to wait till all the Zayin Kruim are up. Then by Neuf Ruf, he says, by Bar Mitzvah, if you have a lot of Kohanim, a lot of Levim, so you can call another kain, after kain Levi Yisrael, can call another kain, but you don't call another kain after that kain. You should always call the Hefzik Yisrael Ben Tai. Kain Yisrael, kain Yisrael, kain Yisrael. Then we allow. When are you allowed to make kain sofer? So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to make kain sofer on a weekday because the people have to go to work. The Mishnah says that on the weekdays and on Chanukah and Purim when there's no Kedushas Hayim, so you only give three aliyahs. On Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed, when there's a little bit of Kedushas Hayim, so you give four aliyahs. On Yom Tov, you give five aliyahs. And Yom Kippur and Shabbos, you give more. And which day has more? So that's a machlok Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that Shabbos has six aliyahs and Yom Kippur is on the top of the list. He gives seven aliyahs. And we pass like Rabbi Shmuel that Shabbos is on top of the list. Shabbos gets seven aliyahs. Yom Kippur gets six aliyahs. And then the Mishnah says, and you're allowed to make kli sofes. So the Pasha Pshat is, you're allowed to make kli sofes on Yom Tov or on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur. No one's going to work. Chol HaMoed, some people do go to work. Tovah HaAvod, people have to go to work. But on Yom Tov, Shabbos, Yom Kippur, it's permissible to make kli sofes. We're machmer, like the other opinion that they run on the Rif quotes, you're only permitted to make kli sofes on Shabbos because it's the top of the list. Shabbos gets seven aliyahs, nothing higher. But if you're going to make kli sofes on Yom Tov, give six aliyahs. So you're giving Yom Tov the chashivas like Yom Kippur. If you're going to give on Yom Kippur, you're going to make seven aliyahs. You're giving Yom Kippur the chashivas like on Shabbos. So that's not proper. The only time you're allowed to make kli sofes is Shabbos. So we usually do like that on Simchas Torah. We do make kli sofes. The meaning is you do make kli sofes. And in Yom Tov shecholias b'Shabbos, we don't make kli sofes. You give seven aliyahs. Yom Tov Shchalis b'Shabbos, you give seven aliyahs. So what's so bad if you make kli sofes? So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, our minig is, question is how to explain it, our minig is, whenever it's a Yom Tov Dikikriya, or Yom Kippur Dikikriya, then you don't allow kli sofes. On Yom Tov Shchalis b'Shabbos, you're giving seven aliyahs. That's the top of the list. So you should be allowed to make kli sofes. But since it's a Yom Tov Dikikriya, so we don't make kli sofes. And on Simchas Torah, it's just plain old Yom Tov. It should be five aliyahs. But since the Kriyas HaTorah is not Yom Tov Dik, it's Parshas HaShavuot, relating with Zois HaBracha. So Shabbos Dik Kriya, we allow kli sofes. And a Yom Tov Dik Kriya, Yom Kippur Dik Kriya, we don't allow kli sofes. That's neither opinion. The one opinion was you can make kli sofes on Shabbos, Yom Tov, and Yom Kippur. The other opinion was you can only make kli sofes on Shabbos. So we don't follow either. We follow a compromise. Whenever it's a Kriyas HaTorah, Shabbos Dik Kriyas HaTorah, you can make kli sofes, even though it's Yom Tov. And Simchas Torah is Yom Tov. You only have to make five aliyahs. We permit kli sofes. Whenever it's a Yom Tov Dik Kriya, even though it's Shabbos and you're giving seven aliyahs, we don't permit kli sofes. A strange compromise. Right. That's a bigger problem. When you want to make kli sofes, so you should really lame 3-4 psukim to this one, 3-4 psukim for the next one. You shouldn't lay over again the same thing many times over. So on Simchas Torah, but even Mekel, to give kli sofes, just to repeat the same old thing as the first one got. That's a kula on top of a kula. Not only do we permit kli sofes, but he's not laying something new. He's just laying over the same thing. It's a kula on top of a kula, a whopper of a kula. And there which you take out Sefer Torah on the Shulchan Aruch, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, is one example. A couple of times a year, you take out three Sefer Torah. So in the Shulchan Aruch, it says that you give six aliyahs in the Parshas HaShavuah, one aliyah in the second Sefer Torah, then one aliyah, then the Mafter in the third one. So some Achranim say, Lav Davka six in the first Sefer Torah. You want to give ten in the first Sefer Torah is also good. You're allowed to make kli sofes. A lot of shuls, they make kli sofes in order to bring in more money for the shul, because they make mishaveros. So they always make 15 aliyahs. Policy. You always make 15 aliyahs, except for Hazinu, can't make 15 aliyahs. And others say no. Rav Soloveitchik thought like Rav Shlomo Levilner writes in Binyan Shlomo, they say that no, that you only give six aliyahs because if you give already seven aliyahs in the Parshas HaShavua, and then the next aliyah is going to be Achavis Hayayim, it's going to be Rosh Chodesh, then you're going to lay in Chanukah. So the next one is going to be Rosh Chodesh. The Kriya of Chayvus Hayayim shouldn't be a Hesofa. It should be either one of the Zayin Kruim, or it should be Maftir. The Zayin Kruim have a special status, and Maftir has a special status. So if you're just learning from two Sefer Torah, so you can make Hesofas from the first Sefer Torah as many as you want, and the second Sefer Torah is going to be also Chayvus Hayayim, is going to be Maftir. Maftir has a special category, a special Chal Hashem. But if you're going to learn three Sefer Torah, you're going to make all the seven Aliyahs in the first Sefer Torah. Chayvus Hayayim is going to be the Maftir, the third one, then the middle Sefer Torah is also Chayvus Hayayim. It's not going to be a Maftir, it's not going to be Zayin Kruim. That's not right. So Rav Soloveitchik thought we should follow Rav Shlomo Levilna, who assumes that the Shulchan Aruch is to be taken literally, that on such a day, you shouldn't make any Hesofos. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik had a Chumrah, had a lot of Chumras. The Soloveitchik family had more Chumras than they had Kulas. People like to latch on to Rabbi Soloveitchik's Kulas. If they live according to Rabbi Soloveitchik, a lot of people would be divorcing their wives because he had unbelievable chumras in Hilchas Nida, Hilchas Shah, everything. People only latch on to the Kulas. They don't want to follow the chumras. He had many more chumras than Kulas. So Rabbi Soloveitchik had a chumra that on a Shabbos when you lay in the Chubarim, two sedras, Vayakol Pikudei, or Matas Masei, something like that. So there's a machlokes achreinim. How do you? The Rishonim say you should give an equal number of aliyahs to each sedra. You shouldn't be mechabed one sedra with more aliyahs than the other one. So what does that mean? So some achreinim say the gabbai has to make up his mind in advance how many aliyahs he's going to give. So he's going to give 10 aliyahs. He should give 5 in the first sedra, 5 in the second sedra. The Levush says like that. And then I think the Taz disagrees. Says, what are you worried about? Hoysofa is scared. You only have to equalize the two sedras regarding the Zayin Kruim. So you always mechaber with Revi. You're laying 3.5 of the Zayin Kruim in the first Sefer Torah, in the first Sedra, and 3.5 of the Zayin Kruim in the second Sedra. You mechaber with Revi. Revi connects the two. And then in the second Sedra, you can make as many Hosofas as you want. So Rashi Soloveitchik felt that because of this machlokes between the Levush and the Taz, best is that you shouldn't make any Hosofas at all. You shouldn't take a stand on the machlokes. Don't make any Hosofas. Stamen makes sense. You're learning two sedras anyway. You're learning two sedras anyway. The Kriya Sater is quite so long, so you got to make no Hosofas also. Sometimes you have a bar mitzvah on a Shabbos when it's Mechubarim, and they have so many guests came in, and you start making Hosofas, Eila Dov Hosof. So it's a good chumrit to throw in once in a while. Makes life easier. The Gemara has a din that Kriya Sater is considered a Dovah Shebikdusha, and a Dovah Shebikdusha needs a minion of Asor. You have to have 10 people. So Kriya Sater needs a minion. Then the Mishnah says if they started with a minion and then someone walked out, then you're left without a minion, so you can complete the Kriya Sater. So in the days of the Tanoim, the Mishnah records only the Kohen who got the first Aliyah said, Asher Baruch Banu, and the one who got the last Aliyah said, Asher Nasan Lanu. And it was all one big unit. The two ways to understand. So many Rishonim assume it was one big unit. The whole Kriyas HaTorah is one unit. So if they started the Kriyas HaTorah with a minion, so you can finish off without a minion. Then the Gemara says, in the days of Rabbi Shmuel and Bovel, they changed the nature of the Takana. Every Olal HaTorah says a bracha before and after his Aliyah. So the Kesem Mishnah writes, he's not sure. Maybe now that they changed the Takana, maybe we treat every Aliyah as a separate unit. So if in the middle of the Kohen's Aliyah, you started off with 10, middle of the Kohen's Aliyah, somebody walked out and you only have 9, maybe you can only finish that Aliyah. Maybe you can't start the next Aliyah. Maybe each Aliyah is a separate unit. So the Kesem Mishnah is not sure. Mishkanes Yankiv thinks that that is right. Mishkanes Yankiv thinks that the nature of the Takana changed. And Mizmanazeh, every Aliyah should be treated as a separate unit, and you have to have 10 in order to begin every Aliyah. Doesn't happen so often, but once in a while it does come up. If you had 10 people for the Kriya Sater, then someone walked out, let's say in the middle, or someone walked out in the middle of the last Aliyah, so you can't start Maftir. Maftir is a separate unit, that's for sure, because that's a separate din in the Mishnah. Mishnah says you can't duchen without a minion, and you can't say Kriya Sater without a minion, you can't say Haftar without a minion. So the Mishnah lists off Haftar as a separate unit. So even if you'll say like that opinion in the Kesem Mishnah that nothing changed, the Bizman Hazeh, if you start off the Kriya Sater with a minion and someone left in the middle, you can finish the whole Kriya Sater, but you can't start the Haftar. Haftar, that's a separate din in the Mishnah. To begin Haftar, you have to have a minion of 10 people. Bismana Mishnah, the practice was that whoever got an aliyah used to lane himself, like many of the Sephardim still have that practice today. Tosis records that they made a takana. It's a little unclear exactly when the takana was made. Some claim that it was made Bismana Gainim. They seem to have sources that was preceded the days of the Bali Tosis. They instituted a practice of having an institution of a Balkari. Why do they have a Balkari? Why don't they have everybody laying today? So Tosis explains there is a Mishnah in Bikurim. The Mishnah says that originally every farm who came to the Beis HaMikdash would give the Bikurim. He would recite Arami Avid Rabi on his own. They would have a plaque there on the wall that had Arami Avid Rabi written in Rashi Tevis, because you're not allowed to write less than Arami Avid Rabi from Chumash Dvar. So you're not allowed to write less than a Sefer Sholim. So not gonna bring the guy a whole Sefer Torah, that is a Sefer Dvarim, that he should read Arami Avid Rabi. So they had a plaque on the wall on the Beis HaMikdash where Arami Avid Rabi was in Rashi Tevis. So you have to know how to figure out the Rashi Tevis. Aleph is Arami Avid Rabi. Vav Mem Vayerid Mitzrayim. That's not bad. What's the next pasuk? You have to be able to figure it out. So half of the farmers, probably 1% of the farmers figured it out. 99% couldn't figure it out. So the farmers would all be standing on line. Some of them traveled 2 days in order to come to the Beis HaMikdash to bring the Bikurim, and then they humiliated in public. The first five guys rattled it Arami Avid Rabi. Then the next guy can't figure out this whole crazy Rosh HaTevis. Well, what are the words there? So they had to have somebody recite it for him. He was Yotze with Shemei Ka'ina. Well, he said word for word after them. So they were embarrassed. So they made a takana, Kedesh lo levayeshes, Mishayni Yadin, not to embarrass those who don't know. Made a takana, nobody says his own Arami Avid Rabi. Even if you're very learned, you should have someone else say for you. So that's what Tosis quotes, this practice that apparently preceded the days of the Balei HaTevis. You have a Balkor lane for everybody. Because some people will lane well, and other people will kill the whole aliyah. They'll ruin the whole aliyah. So you're going to have to correct them every other word. They're going to make a mistake. You're going to correct them. So they're going to be embarrassed. That's one reason. Kadesh lalavash is mishayin. Another good reason is you want to be yotze kriyas atayra. If everybody's going to lane, he's going to make 100 mistakes. They just won't be yotze. But this says nicely. Kadesh lalavash is mishayin yadayra. So we have the practice that the Balkari lanes. Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch that the Balkari never gets an aliyah, only the Teucheche. You should never call up the Balkari for an aliyah. That's the minute Kaddish. The person never lanes for himself, even though he is the Balkari. Other people deny that there is such a Ramah. That's a Rav Soloveitchik read the Ramah. That no one should lane his own, and the Balkari gets the Teucheche. So he thought that's what it means. Balkari only gets a Teuchach, he never gets his own aliyah. The practice is based on a passage in the Zohar. There's a sefer called Shulchan HaKriya. It's written by the Talmidim of, one of the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. So he says, based on a passage in the Zohar, that just like Maimon HaSinai, the Torah was given from on top of the mountain, so too the Kriyas HaTorah should be on top of an elevated platform in the shul. The bima should be for the purpose of Kriyas HaTorah on top of a platform. So then Zoya says this is only in Beis HaKnesses, but in the Beis HaMedrash the whole place is miuchad for learning. So if you're learning in the Beis HaMedrash, everybody's on top of the mountain, so you don't need an elevated platform for the purpose of Kriyas HaTorah. Everybody's learning Torah, the whole makam is miuchad for learning, so the whole Beis HaMedrash is considered like on top of the platform. Under the communists, there was a problem, the 1,001 problems, 1,001,000 problems of Shmiras HaMitzvah. They didn't let the Jews keep the mitzvahs. So there was a serious problem. They forced students to go to school on Shabbos, and they couldn't daven tefillah b'tzibur, and they couldn't hear Kriyas HaTorah. So they were squeezing davening in between. The religious Jews were squeezing davening in between one class and the other. There was no tefillah b'tzibur. They couldn't squeeze in Kriyas HaTorah. So they had a shaila, can they lay in Kriyas HaTorah on Friday night? So the Marsham has it truly, he's mekel. He thinks that it doesn't necessarily have to be after Shachris. He thinks that on Simchas Torah we lay in Leil Simchas Torah, it's really tomorrow morning's Kriya. So he says that's a raya, that whenever there's a chiyuv Kriyas HaTorah, if you want to, you can really be yotze the Kriyas HaTorah by laying at night. It's a big chiddush anyway. We don't have any shas hagzeris, and we don't have to worry about that now. In the Shulchan Aruch says that if the Balkari made a mistake, you have to correct them. How serious a mistake is it? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins like by Megillah. The Yerushalmi says by Megillah, in Maseches Megillah, that if the Balkari made a mistake at Toys, that's Mishana so inyan, that changes the whole meaning of the word, the whole story from present to past, or past to present future. You're changing the inyan, so then you have to correct him. But if he made a mistake, Yehudim or Yehudiim, it's a Kri and Iksib, it's written with two Yuds, and the Kri is Yehudim. So if he said Yehudiim, that's a grammatical mistake, but we know what it means, not Mishana so inyan. So that would be good b'dievet. Yeah, we're not sure exactly what is Mishana Sinyan, what's not Mishana Sinyan. So we always are machzid about Kore whenever he makes any mistake. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah is also the same. If the Balkore made a slight mistake that's not Mishana Sinyan, you don't have to be machzid him. Rab Soloveitchik said he remembered as a child, he once visited by his grandfather Rab Chaim, and they gave him after. And he says he remembers Rab Simcha Zelig was on one side of the bima, Rab Chaim was on the other side of the bima. Rab Chaim wanted to make sure you don't make a mistake in Trup. If you make a mistake in Trup, we're going to be machzir you. We're going to make you say over. Because the Rambam says even diktu kal, even a slight mistake. Rab Chaim understood that it means not only a tois, that's mishana su'inyim. any mistake, even a mistake in Trup. Rav Soloveitchik told us what the policy should be. He said if the Balkor is a ben Torah, and he'll appreciate the fact that you're correcting him, so you should correct him on any slight mistake that he makes. But if he's going to feel so touchy, he's going to make 10 times as many mistakes. Every time you correct him, he gets more, he's going to make more mistakes. Or he's going to be touchy, he's going to be angry about it, so then you should be maker, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, only be machzeh him if he makes a mistake on a toast that's mishana esarinya. The Pasuk says in Nehemiah that when they opened up the Holy Temple, the Beis Hamikdash Sheni, on the high holidays, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, that's what they joke in the Reformed Temple, on Matzoy Yom Kippur, they announce high holiday services will be held next year, they only go to Shul 3 days a year, 2 days Rosh Hashanah, I don't know if they go 2 days in Yom Kippur. So it says in Nehemiah, they opened up the Beis Hamikdash, the Holy Temple was open on high holidays, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Ezra was a kohen. He got the first aliyah and said, "Baruch Hashem Avorach." The whole Kriyas HaTorah, as we know it today, is described step by step in the book of Nehemiah. So it says that Uki Pischa, when they opened up the Sefer Torah, Om Du Kol Ha'om. How do you translate Om Du Kol Ha'om? So it sounds like everybody stood up. So the Gemara says in Masech HaSoita, the Gemara has some of the dinim in Perek Elu Nemorim. The Gemara says in Masech HaSoita, Ein Amida Elo Shtika. It means everybody was quiet, that you're not allowed to talk during Kriyas HaTorah, and the minute they open up the Sefer Torah, you're really not allowed to talk. Even though they didn't find the place yet, you're not allowed to talk. Does it also mean to be quiet? Ein amida la shtika, in addition to standing, or only mean shtika? So we usually assume it only means shtika, that you don't have to stand during Kriyas HaTorah. The Rishonim quote, the Maharam Rutenberg's personal practice was that he used to stand during Kriyas HaTorah, but Rav Moshe Feinstein points out in his Tshuvas, it doesn't say that he got all the balabatim to stand. He didn't. It seems that Rav Maharam Rutenberg didn't really hold that this is halacha. Ein amida l'shtika. That's all. It doesn't mean to stand. Mikra din, you don't have to stand. It was Maharam Rutenberg's personal chumra that he wanted to stand, and the rest of the shul was not stand. So based on that, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, let's come into a shul. So b'nei yeshiva, and yeshiva is usually everybody stands for Kriyas HaTorah. Rav Soloveitchik was used to stand even when he was an old man. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, he used to make Hatars and Dharma only on standing. So he said, he didn't say Shimon the Rabbi said Dayan Minchah. He said, I have a minik type that I stand for Chazaras HaShatz and I stand for Kriyas HaTorah. And he was ready, an old man. He said, I don't know if I'll have the courage to do it. He doesn't have Charata from the minik type. He has Charata that he didn't say B'li Neder, and he wants Hatars and Dharma. So every year he would go through this, the Matan Neder, and then he stood the whole day Yom Kippur. He used to stand the whole Rosh Hashanah for the Chazaras HaShatz and for the Chazaras HaShatz, very long, so many piyutim, and for the Kriyas HaTorah. He always made the Hatars Nam just in case he won't be able to. And then he used to stand anyway, till his mamish, old and feeble, and he simply physically wasn't able to. So his minig always was that he stood. But he said, it's only a chumr. He said, he knows it's only a chumr because his father used to stand and he used to sit next to his father. He said, if my father would have held it, Tzedin, he would have smacked me up, he would never let me sit. So that's the raya. That Mikra Din, you don't have to stand, that's only a chumra. So Moshe assumes, Mikra Din, you don't have to stand, it's only a chumra. So he says, if you come into a shul and the rabbi in the shul sits for Kriyas HaTorah, so then it's not the acher, it's to observe a chumra in the presence of the local rabbi. That's the Gemara in the end of Perek Merubin in Baba Kama. that the Gemara sounds like it says, the Amshe Shlaima points at it, that if a Talmud observes the Midas Chasidus in the presence of his Rebbe, and the Rebbe doesn't observe that Midas Chasidus, so the Talmud is royal and adoso. You should put the Talmud in Nidui because it's not their heretz. Talmud shouldn't observe Midas Chasidus or Chumras in the presence of the Rebbe if the Rebbe doesn't observe that Midas Chasidus. Kriyas HaTorah is a Dovish HaBigdush, and the Mishnah says that's why you need Amidus. That's why you need Asara. So why don't you need Amida? Usually three things go together. Whenever it's a Dovish HaBigdush, let's say the reciting of Yud Gimel Midas when you say Slicha. So there's a Machloikas and Achrenim, whether Yud Gimel Midas and the Slichas is considered a Dovish HaBigdush or not. So they say there are three Nafkaminas where they need a Minyan. The rest of the Slichas you can say Bechidah. So what about the Yud Gimel Midas? Do you need a Minyan? Do you need a Amida? You have to stand. They need atifa. They have to wear the talus over your head. The davar shebikdusha, you need atifa, you need amida, you need asara. So kriyas haTorah, the Mishnah says kriyas haTorah is a davar shebikdusha, you need asara. How come you don't need amida mikra adin? It's just the midas chasidus of Maharam Rutmerg. And how come you don't need mikra adin atifa? People don't cover their heads with the talus. Bishas kriyas haTorah. Rav Soloveitchik thought he used to worry a lot about these kind of kashas. So he thought maybe the teretz is that there's a machlekes bishamei b'shul regarding kriyashma. So bishamei say, v'erev kol adam yata v'yikro. Reciting kriyashma should be in a reclining position, b'shach b'cho. In the morning, kol adam oimid v'kori. You have to stand up when you recite kriyashma, because it says b'shach b'cho, in a reclining position, v'kamecha, in a standing position. And the b'shul disagree. B'shach v'kamecha means b'zman shemir adam shachvim, b'zman shemir adam omdim, that's the zman kriyashma. And the pasuk says b'lech tucha b'aderech. B'lech tucha b'aderech implies kol adam kori ki darkai. You recite Kriya Shema however you want, with atifa, without atifa, with amida, without amida, whatever position. Unlike a melech basav adam, the taz and simaches and arachayim quotes a medesh. Unlike a melech basav adam, unlike Lubavitch, when you go to a Lubavitch wedding, so they say everybody please has to stand up because you got to read a letter from the Rebbe. So the Medrash says, unlike a Melech Basav Adam, that they demand everyone has to stand up when they read the letter from the king. The Rabbanu Shalom, the Melech Nachem Melachim, he doesn't require that. You want to say Kriya Shema, B'Yeshiva, B'Amida, with Atifa, without Atifa, whatever you want, there's no requirement. Kol Adam Kori Kedarka. That's the halacha. Kol Adam Kori Kedarka. So Leitchik thought that maybe that halacha of Kol Adam Kori Kedarka covers also Kriya HaTorah, not only reciting of the parshas of Kriya Shema, maybe it covers Kriyas HaTorah as well, and that's why you don't need Amida, that's why you don't need Atifa, despite the fact that the Kriyas HaTorah really is a Dovish HaBikdush. The Gemara says, in Brachas, the Gemara tells a strange story. When they were learning Kriyas HaTorah, to Rav Sheshes, Mahadar Ape Vigoris, he didn't pay attention to the Kriyas HaTorah, he turned his back to the Sefer Torah, and he was reciting Mishnayos. Hayitochin, Taisa asked the kasha, but the Gemara says in Soita, "Kimishin iftach sefer Torah, also the dabra afilu b'divrei Torah, ukipischa yom de kol ha'am ein amida elashtika." So why, how is Rav Sheshes allowed to turn his back to the sefer Torah and recite Mishnah? So Taisa gives different answers. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes one of the answers the Rishonim give. He davened at the first minyan. He already heard Kriyas HaTorah. He was yotzei already. Aye, but still, but they're learning Kriyas HaTorah second minyan. That explains why he didn't pay attention. How was he allowed to talk during Kriyas HaTorah? So some Rishonim say because Rav Sheshes was blind, he was a Sagi Nohar. And Dvarim Shebichtav, you're not allowed to say Baal Peh. The Baal Kori has to learn from the Sefer Torah. Kori shouldn't learn Baal Peh. A lot of times the Baal Kriya know the Sedra so well, so they learn half the Pesukim by heart. They just check once in a while. That's not right. The din is the Baal Kori is supposed to go through, before he learns in Shul, supposed to go through the Sedra either three or four times. Before. I remember once I was walking to Shul with my Chavrusa, he was going to be the Baal Kori, so he was saying the Sedra Baal Peh as we were walking in the street. Yeah, but when you're laying the Kriyas HaTorah, you're supposed to lay Mitarach HaKzah. So Tosfos has one opinion. Rav Sheshes was blind, he was a Sagi Nohar, and since he has no Sheiches but Torah Shebichtav, he's potem Kriyas HaTorah. So that's why he doesn't have to pay attention. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't like that answer. Mishnah Berurah says he done by the first minyan, but still, he's here in the second minyan. So Tosfos gives one answer. Tosfos and Brachas gives one answer. If he turn you back to the Sefer Torah, then it's okay. Should it be worse? Turn you back to the Sefer Torah, isn't it more disrespectful? Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Pshat and the Tosfos was based on the Pasuk in Nehemiah, when it describes the Kriyas HaTorah in the Beis HaMikdash, when Ezra got the first Aliyah on Rosh Hashanah and so on. So it says there, Upenei Mela Sefer, everybody was facing the Sefer Torah. The people were standing around in a circle, and the Bima was in the middle, and they were laying in Kriyas HaTorah. So he thought that that opinion in Tosfos holds, that you're only mitzurif to the minyan of Kriyas HaTorah, if you face the Sefer Torah. Whoever isn't facing the Sefer Torah is not mitzurif to the minyan. He's not yotzei the Kriyas HaTorah. So that's what Soloveitchik said, a lot of people sit in front of the Bima in shul. The Bima, where they lay in Kriyas HaTorah, is in the middle. So after people in the shul sit in front, so he thought that more correct is they should all turn around. B'shas Kriyas HaTorah. There's a din, it's a general, there's a din in Yeriday, in Hilchos Sefer Torah. You're not allowed to have your back to the Sefer Torah. Unless the Sefer Torah is in the Aron Kodesh. It's in the Rishus B'fnei Atzma. It's in a different room. The Aron Kodesh is usually 10 Tfachim tall and 4 Tfachim deep. So that's a different Rishus. That's why the Taz explained, how can the rabbi get up, hold the sermon, he has his back to the Sefer Torah. So the Taz says, Sefer Torah is in a Rishus B'fnei Atzma because it's 10 Tfachim tall and Dalet al Dalet Tfachim deep. So here, the Prima Gadim has a suffix. Is it permissible to turn your back to the Sefer Torah when the Sefer Torah is on top of a table, on top of a shulchan? The shulchan is 10 tefachim tall, but it's not really reshus b'fnei atzma. You don't have any walls around the shulchan. There are no mechitzas over there. The Rav Soloveitchik thought that whoever has his back to the Sefer Torah is not mitzurif to the minyan. Mutar also, it could be that it's also to have your back to the Sefer Torah, even if it's on top of the shulchan. But he thought, even if you hold that it's mutter, but you wouldn't be yotzei kriyas HaTorah, because in order to be yotzei, you have to have a fneim ala sefer. So he thought that that's what Tosfos meant, that sheishes, mahadar api vigoris, if you have your back to the Sefer Torah, you're not mitztarif to this minion. So the melee, you're not part of the minion. You're allowed to learn mishnayis, whatever you want. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik once had a shaila. The Balkoirei didn't like one of the Balabatim in the shul, so he said, when I learn, I have a mind to be yotzei, everybody except for you. So the Frumah Balabas had a shaila, yes, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik in Europe, because you have to go to another shul to be yotzei kriyas HaTorah. So he told me he doesn't think so. The Baltakeya is moitzi everybody based on Shemei Koine, so he has to have a mind to be moitzi you. But the Balkoirei is not moitzi everybody based on Shemei Koine. Let's say Kiddush. Moitzi everybody based on Shemei Koine, so you have to have Kavanas HaMashmiya, you have to have a mind to be moitzi you. Kriyas HaTorah is a din of Talmud Torah B'tzibur. Whoever pays attention is yotzei. So Rav Soloveitchik gave a mashal. So he said, I give a shiur. So he said that this doesn't apply here. In his shiur, the guy who sat right on the front under his nose never understood the shiur. So he says, he doesn't understand a word, but I like him very much. It was true because his father was in Rav Soloveitchik's shiur when he first started giving a shiur. And the guy in the back was Boylan. He's the dean of Turo now. So Boylan always used to get under his skin because he always used to ask him kashas from the Meiri and from the Tosfei HaRosh, and he always used to scream, will you stop bothering me with your Tosfei HaRosh and everything. He said, I have in mind, I want to be Moitzi the guy in the front because I like him, and the guy in the back, I don't like him. I have in mind not to be Moitzi. Who's Yotzei Talmud Torah? The guy in the back who pays attention, he understands. He's Yotzei. The guy in the front doesn't understand. He's not Yotzei. He said, when you're talking about Talmud Torah, whoever pays attention, whoever understands Yotzei, whoever doesn't pay attention, not. So he said, it doesn't matter that the Balkoirei has a mind, Kavanah Shelo Lahotzi. If you're paying attention to the Kriyas HaTorah, you're Yotzei. Okay, we left that a lot, but that's enough for today. Good, tomorrow we're going to discuss Erevei Chatzeros.
Around that, before that, you're not in those sabbos except on Shabbos. Yeah. Even for adding kedusha to those sabbos, or you think it's just looks like Shabbos?
No, you're giving more hashivas to Yom Tov. You're giving hashivas to Yom Tov.